नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तमा श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम चैप्टर 16 कैंटो 4 चैप्टर 16 टेक्स्ट 1। मैत्रेय उवाच इति ब्रुवाणं नृपतिं गायता मुनिचोदितः तुष्टुस्तुष्टमनसः तद्वागमृतसेवया। मैत्रेय उवाच इति ब्रुवाणं नृपतिं गायता मुनिचोदितः तुष्टुस्तुष्टमनसः तद्वागमृतसेवया। मैत्रेय उवाच इति ब्रुवाणं नृपतिं गायता मुनिचोदितः तुष्टुस्तुष्टमनसः तद्वागमृतसेवया। Maitreya Uvacha. The great sage Maitreya said, Iti, thus, Bruvanam, speaking, Nripatim, the king, Gayataha, the reciters, Muni, by the sages, Choditaha, having been instructed, Tushtuvu, praised, satisfied, Tushta, being pleased, Manasaha, their minds, Tat, his, Vak, words, Amrita, nectarian, Sevaya, by hearing. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The great sage Maitreya continued, while King Prithu thus spoke, the humility of his nectarian speeches pleased the reciters very much. Then again, they continued to praise the king highly with exalted prayers, as they had been instructed by the great sages. Purport. Here the word Muni Chodita indicates instructions received from great sages and saintly persons. Although Maharaj Prithu was enthroned on the royal seat and was not at that time exhibiting his godly powers, the reciters like the Sutta, the Magadha and the Vandi understood that King Prithu was an incarnation of God. They could understand this by the instructions given by the great sages and the learned brahmanas. We have to understand the incarnations of God by the instructions of authorized persons. We cannot manufacture a God by our own concoctions. As stated by Narottam Das Thakur, Sadhu Shastra Guru, one has to test all spiritual matters according to the instructions of saintly persons, scriptures, and the spiritual master. The spiritual master is one who follows the instructions of his predecessors, namely the sadhus or saintly persons. A bona fide spiritual master does not mention anything not mentioned in the authorized scriptures. Ordinary people have to follow the instructions of sadhu, shastra, and guru. Those statements made in the Shastras and those made by the bona fide sadhu or guru cannot differ from one another. Reciters like the Sutta and the Magadha were confidentially aware that King Prithu was an incarnation of the personality of Godhead. Although the king denied such praise because he was not at that time exhibiting his godly qualities, the reciters did not stop praising him. Rather, they were very pleased with the king, who, although actually an incarnation of God, was so humble and delightful in his dealings with devotees. In this connection, we may note that previously, 4.15.21, it was mentioned that King Prithu was smiling and was in a pleasant mood while speaking to the reciters. Thus, we have to learn from the Lord or his incarnation how to become gentle and humble. The king's behavior was very pleasing to the reciters, and consequently, the reciters continued their praise and even foretold the king's future activities as they had been instructed by the sadhus and the sages. Om Ajnanati Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Vadati Sva Kadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Shriyuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Agrajatam Sahagana Rupnathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Vishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Dakta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Vrascha Vipasindhu Vraye Vacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Radhanatha Swami Niti Namine Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshutarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
The great sage Maitreya continued, While King Prithu thus spoke, the humility of his nectarian speeches pleased the reciters very much. Then again they continued to praise the king highly with exalted prayers as they had been instructed by the great sages.
Hare Krishna. My name is Advaita Chandra Das, and just a small introduction. I come from Houston, very happy and fortunate to visit Sri Mayapur Dham, and I'm very grateful for being given this opportunity to read Srimad Bhagavatam today. I'm not so qualified. There are many more qualified senior devotees here. So if I commit some mistakes, please forgive me, thinking as your younger brother. But for my purification, to the best of my capacity, I'll try to repeat what I've heard from all of you, all the previous speakers during the previous Bhagavatam classes, and all the devotees. Hare Krishna. So today is a very wonderful verse, continuing from the previous chapters on Prithu Maharaj. This is the first verse of a new chapter where King Prithu is actually being glorified by the various priests, especially the sutas, the vadis, and the vandis and the magadhas. And they are all singing praises of Prithu Maharaj. To give a background, Prithu Maharaj is considered the son of King Vena, but he wasn't born the way everyone else is born. King Vena, because of his unscrupulous activities, the Brahmanas, they decided to kill him with chanting the mantras and things like that, and they offered his body for a sacrifice, and from the sacrifice a great demon came out first, and then as the sacrifice continued and the whole yajna was purified, two great personalities arose from the sacrificial arena, and they were King Prithu and his wife Archi. So a male and female, they arose from the sacrificial fire, and everyone was simply amazed. All the demigods had come and they started offering various gifts to King Prithu. This is the synopsis of the previous chapter. Different gifts by different demigods. And then all the sutas and the singers, they started singing praise of Prithu Maharaj. And Prithu Maharaj had just appeared, in one sense he was just born. And he had not accomplished anything, he had not performed any great activities. But all these priests and people, they started glorifying King Prithu for his future activities. And in the previous few verses, King Prithu is amazed, is expressing his amazement and anguish in one sense of being praised when he's still not worthy of that praise. And he's saying that I haven't yet performed the activities that you're praising me for, so why are you praising me? And even though he said this, in this verse it says that all of the sutas and the vandis and the magadas, they continued praising him, although they were internally pleased by King Prithu's humility, that he is he's so honest and he's just admitting that I'm really not worthy of the praise. And they just smiled and continued praising him anyways. Because here it says that then again they continued to praise the king highly with exalted prayers as they had been instructed by the great sages. Because the great sages had already told them that King Prithu is actually an incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srila Prabhupada explains in the purports previously that he is a Shaktavish avatar of Vishnu, just like for he's the ideal king for ruling. He's the incarnation, he's empowered for ruling the subjects. And so, having faith in the great sages, all these singers, they anyway continue. And Srila Prabhupada here emphasizes that one has to test all the spiritual matters according to the instructions of saintly persons, scriptures and the spiritual master. As stated by Narottam Das Thakur, Sadhu, Shastra and Guru. And so he says, even though King Prithu was saying, why are you... According to his senses, he was saying, his sense perception, he was saying, I have not yet performed these activities. But all these sages had great faith in the... all the singers had great faith in the great sages. And they anyway continued praising him. Here also Prabhupada then says that how we should have faith in Guru, Sadhu, Shastra. That is the three-way check and balance system in Krishna consciousness for us to understand if something is to be accepted or rejected. This Guru, Sadhu, Shastra, he says it's proposed by Narottam Das Thakur himself, and Srila Prabhupada was a great proponent of the Sadhu, Shastra, Guru principle in the modern world, in modern times. And Prabhupada also takes an opportunity to emphasize that we have to understand the incarnations of God by instructions of authorized persons. And so here again, Srila Prabhupada never misses an opportunity to enlighten us that there are so many gods who are popping up, people telling that I am God, but without proper reference from Shastras, we should not accept them. From Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. One time a person came to Srila Prabhupada and said that, Prabhupada, I'm really confused. There are so many people out there claiming that they are God, that they are Krishna, and I don't know whom to believe. I feel that if I don't believe that they are Krishna, and what if they are actually Krishna? And I may end up offending them, so I'm just very confused. What to do. And so Srila Prabhupada said, okay, we are not sure whether they are Krishna or not, but we are sure that everyone wants to become Krishna. So Krishna is definitely God. Whether they are God or not, we don't know. But Krishna is definitely God. So why don't you just worship Krishna? Forget about all the confusion that is there. Maybe they are Krishna, maybe they are not Krishna. So let's save ourselves all the trouble and just worship Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that convinced the person, and he became a devotee. So Srila Prabhupada, with his wit and with his humor and with his mercy, he actually has liberated so many people, has enlightened so many people, as he's enlightening us here, that we should not accept the incarnations of God unless it's authorized by the Guru, Sadhu and Shastra principle. We see that even today there are so many gods. In fact, the biggest god today is Google. In fact, there is a website. It says thechurchofgoogle.com. You can go and visit that website. And there they claim that God is omnipresent. He's present everywhere. He's omniscient. He knows everything. And He answers all prayers. With these three principles, you can see that Google satisfies all these three principles. It's omnipresent. It's present everywhere. You go on the website, type google.com. As long as you have an internet connection, it's right there. It's omniscient. It knows everything. When we go to Google, what we do is we type, the first thing we do is we type a few words that come to our mind that we are looking for, and there it is. We get to know whatever there is in the world. And then it answers all prayers. In fact, earlier or even now, when devotees are in trouble, they are having some bad health, they pray to Krishna, they pray to Nrisingadev, Dr. Nrisingadev, as the pujaris call here. But in the West, there are instances where the doctors, when they have given up all hope, they tell the patients, you can go and try a Google search for your particular disease, and you may be able to get some answer there. You may be able to join some group which is trying some experimental drugs, and maybe you may be cured. So everyone, instead of us, earlier people used to say, there's no other way, just pray to God. Now they say, there's no other way, just go to Google. So in all sense, it's actually, if you analyze, it's a fact in our whole lives. Instead of being dependent on God, we are becoming so much dependent on these so-called incarnations of God, the church of google.com. But the fact is, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Google will come and go, the stock market crashes and it will go, but Krishna is supremely independent. And unless it is authorized by Guru, Sadhu and Shastra, we should not accept any principles without proper understanding. But even to understand, even to accept the instructions of Guru, we also have to apply our intelligence within the realm of Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. Whatever the Guru says, we can confirm it from the Shastra, from the scripture. We can confirm it from the sadhus, which Prabhupada explains as the previous spiritual masters. The Guru comes in a disciplic succession, and whatever he says is in conformance with the sadhus, the previous acharyas, and with the Shastras. Similarly, if we read anything from Shastra, we may misunderstand the context in which the Shastra is explaining something. So we should confirm it from the Guru and the sadhus, the previous acharyas. And if we hear anything from the previous acharyas, from the sadhus, we read anything, we should confirm it from Guru and Shastra. This way, if we are always confirming through these three-way check and balance system of Guru, Sadhu, Shastra, proposed by Narottam Das Thakur, we can very safely be on our path to spiritual advancement. One time, there was a guru and disciple. They were walking together, and the guru was very tired, so they hired a pony. We just came from the Badrinath Kedarnath Yatra, and the ponies are very popular and very helpful there, in Kedarnath especially. And so these guru and disciple, they were walking, and they hired a pony. And while the disciple was following the guru was sitting on the pony, and they were just walking, and suddenly a fruit fell from the guru's back, and the disciple just continued. And the guru said, "Why don't you pick up the fruit?" He said, "Oh, Guru Maharaj, I am your obedient disciple. Unless you instruct me, I will not do anything." So he said, "Okay, go and pick up the fruit." So he picked up the fruit. And then the kamandalu fell, and the disciple still continued. He did not understand the essence of what his guru actually would be pleased by. And the guru said, "Well, the kamandalu fell. Can you please pick it up?" He said, "Yes, Guru Maharaj, I am your obedient servant. You instructed me, I will give you your kamandalu back." And so he gave it back. And so the guru said, "I have to really specifically instruct my disciples." So he said, "Anything that falls down from the horse, you should pick it up and give it to me." So they were walking nicely. And everyone knows this, I guess. And then a dropping fell from the pony. He answered the nature's call. And the disciple immediately said, "I'm an obedient disciple." And he went and he picked up the dropping and gave it to Guru Maharaj. "Guru Maharaj, I'm following your instruction. Whatever falls from the pony, I'm giving it to you." He says, "No, no, don't give it to me. This is muchi. Just take it away." "Okay, now I'll give you a list of things that you should pick up when something falls." So he makes a whole list, a detailed list of all the belongings that he has and everything. And they keep walking, and after some time a bump comes, and the pony kind of gets agitated, and the guru falls down. And guess what? The disciple just continues. And the guru says, "Hey, pick me up. I've fallen down. I'm unable to get up." He said, "Guru Maharaj, you are not in the list that you gave me." So we should be a little more intelligent than the disciple. We should understand the essence of what Guru is trying to explain to us, rather than being so specific. One extreme is that we don't follow Guru Sadhu Shastra at all. And the other extreme is that we follow Guru Sadhu Shastra to such an extent that we just give up all the common sense and give up the trying to understand the essence of what Guru Sadhu and Shastra are trying to explain. So we should have a proper balance of understanding from Guru Sadhu Shastra. So coming back to Prithu Maharaj. Prithu Maharaj was an incarnation, a Shaktyavesh avatar of Vishnu for ruling the world. In fact, he perfected his life by the process of Archana. There are 9 processes of devotional service. There is Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Prahlad Maharaj says. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakhyam, Atmanivedanam. These are the 9 processes of devotional service. And there are several devotees who have perfected their lives through each of this process, simply by performing each of this process. By Shravanam, Maharaj Parikshit perfected his life. By Kirtanam, Shukadev Goswami perfected his life. And so on and so forth. In this way, Prithu Maharaj, he actually perfected his life by Archanam. By Archanam means by the process of worshipping the Lord. And in the next few chapters, 3-4 chapters later, it will be explained how Prithu Maharaj perfected his life by worshipping the Lord, by the process of yajna, by understanding the essence of what worshipping the Lord means. Here actually in the few chapters it will be explained that Prithu Maharaj was, since he was a glorious king, for the benefit of his citizens, he vowed to perform 100 Ashwamedh Yajnas. And that was his only motive, just for the benefit of his citizens. And he didn't want any prestige or any position, anything from that. But the fact is, if only Indra has performed 100 Ashwamedh Yajnas, and as Prithu Maharaj was successfully completing each Ashwamedh Yajna, Indra started becoming insecure. And he started, when it came to the 99th Ashwamedh Yajna, when the 99th Ashwamedh Yajna was complete, Prithu Maharaj started the 100th Ashwamedh Yajna. And if he would complete this 100th Ashwamedh Yajna, he would equal the record of Indra. And Indra would no longer be the only champion, the sole champion. And probably his throne would be under jeopardy. And so Indra felt, in any circumstance, I cannot actually allow Prithu Maharaj to complete his 100th Ashwamedh Yajna. Although Indra also performed the 100th Ashwamedh Yajna for the benefit of the citizens. It wasn't that he was performing for his own benefit. But Indra, as we understand, as it is explained, that he is Karma Mishra Bhakti. He was performing Karma Mishra Bhakti. And so even though it was for the benefit of all the citizens, it was under the instructions of the Lord, it was his duty, it was his devotional service, but still, the nature of this world is that as we get more name and fame and prestige, even through performance of our devotional service, when we start achieving things, even in devotional service, in our preaching missions, if we are not very careful, then this prestige and pratishtha, Kanaka Kamini Pratishtha, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati says, they start affecting us. And in that sense, Indra was performing Karma Mishra Bhakti. He started becoming attached to the results of his activities. Even though he started with a pure motivation, when someone else was doing the same service, equaling his record, he started becoming insecure. And sometimes, if we examine our own spiritual lives, when we are performing devotional service in the association of devotees, these instructions are very useful, because if someone else is performing a service which we are not performing, in an area which we are not performing, it's very easy to glorify that person. If I am a good book distributor and someone is doing very nice deity worship, it's very easy to glorify that person. But the real test comes when we have to glorify another person who is excelling in the same area of service that we are. And this is, you know, many of us would feel it, at least I feel it, I'm not in that stage. And for our purification, we should glorify and try to assist in, however, whatever our mind says, we should try to assist in glorifying the service of another person, even if it is in our area of service. And that is what actually pleases Krishna. If we go a little above and see with our activities what will please Krishna, then these tiny things won't matter. And that was very nicely instructed by Prithu Maharaj. When Indra came, he started stealing the horse. If there is no horse, there is no Ashwamedh Yajna. And the 100th Ashwamedh Yajna would not be completed. And it is explained that Indra started disguising himself into different sadhu vesha, and with each sadhu vesh, he was actually starting a new sampradaya, a new parampara of irreligious activities performed under the garb of a devotee or of a sadhu. And several times he actually stole. He first time stole, and son of King Prithu, he reclaimed the horse back, and because of that he was called Vijitashva, one who won the horse. And then again, Indra again, when the Ashwamedh Yajna was to be done, he cast darkness on the sacrificial arena, and he stole the horse again, and again Vijitashva got it back, And it happened many times to the extent that his son was ready to kill Indra. But then Lord Brahma intervened. Lord Brahma appeared and he told King Prithu that don't worry about these petty things. If you insist on performing your 100th Ashwamedh Yajna, Indra will continue to propound irreligious principles throughout the world. So, just for the benefit of the world and for the benefit of everyone, I propose that you give up your desire for 100th Ashwamedh Yajna. And this is very instructive, because sometimes we have some noble aspirations for preaching missions, and sometimes someone else may not agree with our view. But here Brahma is instructing that for creating harmony amongst the devotees, the higher principle is to give up our aspirations. If that means that that will create unity and harmony amongst devotees. And this is a very instructive passage where King Prithu, he gave up his desire for the 100th Ashwamedh Yajna. And because he did that, even though he didn't complete his 100th Ashwamedh Yajna, Lord Vishnu personally appeared. By this sacrifice of his 100th Ashwamedh Yajna, Lord Vishnu, he personally appeared and he blessed King Prithu with whatever he desired for the benefit of his citizens. So here we understand Prithu Maharaj understood the essence of what Krishna wants. Samsiddhi Haritoshanam Yat Karoshi Yad Asnasi Yad Juhosi Dadasi Yat Yat Tapasyasi Kaunteya Tat Kurushva Madarpanam. Just do it. The purpose of sacrifice, the purpose of Yajna, is to satisfy Vishnu. And here Vishnu was completely satisfied, even though ritualistically the 100th Ashwamedh Yajna was not complete. Now, are we more inspired? Are you more inspired by Indra, who has the record of 100 Ashwamedh Yajnas? Or are you more inspired by Prithu Maharaj, who did not complete his 100th Ashwamedh Yajna, simply for a higher purpose of creating harmony? Before you answer that, remember that Indra is watching. But that was a different Indra at that time, so don't worry. Now the Indra is Purandara, Vishnu himself, Vishnu's expansion. But nevertheless, we are obviously more inspired by King Prithu. So here it explains that real glorification and real satisfaction of the Lord is not through achievements. We may have so many achievements, but what Krishna is really pleased by is the relationships, is the process with which we have actually achieved what we have achieved. And sometimes the process by which we have not achieved what we were supposed to achieve, what we gave up simply for the higher purpose. Even Srila Prabhupada, as he says, that he gave the most difficult instruction, that you can please me by how you cooperate amongst each other. And here Prithu Maharaj is setting an example of how we can follow this very difficult instruction of Srila Prabhupada. On a theoretical level, it's very easy to say that, but on a practical level, when each party, everyone is convinced that their way of pleasing Guru, Sadhu, Shastra, Guru and the previous Acharyas is the best, it's very difficult at that point to actually understand this higher principle. But if we can somehow or the other, by the guidance of senior devotees, by the guidance of our God brothers, come to understand what is to be given up and what is to be accepted, then we'll be actually be able to accept Srila Prabhupada's instructions to our heart. In fact, one time there was an ashram in which there was lot of commotions going on, lot of fightings going on, and eventually people started leaving that ashram, and simply five people remained. And after these five people, they were just thinking what to do. You know, this ashram is dying out. People are just leaving left, right, center because of discord amongst the people. And so they went to their senior leader and of the ashrams, and they said that, you know, we are concerned. We are only five of us, and we are really old. We are in our 70s. What should we do with this ashram? So the senior leader came, they read Shastra together, they discussed, and before he left, he told all of them that actually there is a Messiah amongst all of you. There is one person who is a Messiah amongst you. There is one person who is a messenger of God amongst you. And everyone, and he didn't say who it was, he just said this and he just left. And after he left, everyone started thinking, no one expressed it openly, but everyone started thinking in their mind, who could be that Messiah? It's certainly not me, maybe this Prabhu. He's a little fanatic, but whatever he says is always right. Maybe he's a Messiah. Or maybe this Prabhu, he's very humble, he's always serving. I've never seen him doing any big achievements, but he's always serving. Maybe he is the Messiah. Or maybe this other Mataji, she may be the Messiah, she may be the messenger of God. She's always very humble and tolerant. And in this way, they started actually seeing each other as possible messiahs, as possible messengers of God. And after some time, they started respecting each other so much, and they started giving love and affection to each other on that platform, that association of five ashramites became very, very strong, and people started becoming attracted. People started thinking, I want to be a part of that association. And so everyone started joining, and in the next year, when the senior leader came, there were so many young and, you know, people of all ages who had started joining the ashrams, and people started migrating from other ashrams to their ashram, and it just became a blissful place again. And it was simply because of the gift of the senior leader. The gift that he gave was that instruction that there is a Messiah amongst you. So if we actually treat each and every one with humility and with gratefulness, be grateful to be in the association of devotees. Here Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport, they were very pleased with the king, who although actually an incarnation of God, was so humble and delightful in his dealings with devotees. He was humble and very delightful in his dealings with devotees. And when we do that, it automatically creates such an atmosphere that it's very attractive to everyone, to the people who are living and the people who are seeing outside. And that is what Srila Prabhupada envisions for our movement. He has been saying all this throughout his instructions. We have been hearing from great Srila Prabhupada's disciples and his disciples that this is the main thing which will keep us come together, Srila Prabhupada's instruction of how we can please him by cooperating amongst each other. So it's very instructive from Prithu Maharaj. We should understand how we should be humble. He was humble and he was honest. Humility simply means honesty. He was just honest. He was saying, why are you praising me? I'm actually not deserving of that praise yet. Maybe in future, but don't praise me right now. It feels like an insult. If you go to a poor man who is in rags and, you know, torn clothes and say, oh, you are such a rich man, you have millions of rupees and gold coins, he'll think he's mocking at me, he's insulting me. He can see that I'm actually in rags. So it's actually, over-glorification is could be considered as an insult. And he's very humble to accept it. He's very honest. And he's very grateful. He's not saying it in a very... he's saying very delightfully. He's not saying it in a very cutting way. Why are you telling me this? He's saying he's always smiling, and he's very delightfully. He's expressing his honest opinion, honest concern. In fact, a few blocks from here, there is Srivas Angan, where Lord Chaitanya used to have his nocturnal kirtans all night long. And during those nocturnal kirtans, the property was that only very pure devotees were allowed in those nocturnal kirtans. No one else was allowed. But one time, a brahmachari, he was very austere, he would only survive by drinking milk. And he passed by this place and he came to know about Lord Chaitanya's nocturnal kirtan at Srivas Angan. And he went to Srivas Pandit and he begged, can you please allow me to attend Lord Chaitanya's kirtan? And Srivas Pandit, he was very humble. He didn't want to deny. At the same time, he knew Lord Chaitanya would not feel his regular ecstasy if someone who is not pure is allowed. He didn't want to judge that devotee. So he kind of said, we'll see later. But this brahmachari was very, very persistent. And so Srivas Pandit said, okay, I'll allow you in, but you cannot actively participate in the kirtan. I'll give you a place to hide behind the behind a place, and from there you can see Lord Chaitanya dancing. Brahmachari said, perfect, that's fine, I can live with that. And so he went inside Srivas Angan and some behind some rice barrels, and he just hid there, and then Lord Chaitanya's nocturnal kirtan began. And Lord Chaitanya and all the devotees started singing, Lord Chaitanya started dancing, and he was... But when he was dancing, Lord Chaitanya was not feeling the same ecstasy that he usually feels. And he tried a lot. And after some time, he called Srivas and he said, Srivas, is there someone in the house who is not pure in his heart? And so Srivas Pandit said, no, there's no one participating in the kirtan who is not pure in the heart. And so Lord Chaitanya again asked, is there someone in the house who is not very pure? He said, well, I don't know, but there is one brahmachari here. He was very insistent that he had this strong desire, and so I could not deny him. He's there, he's hiding, and he called the brahmachari out. So the brahmachari, very humbly, with folded hands, he came out, and Srivas Pandit said, started glorifying the brahmachari that he is actually very austere, he only subsists on drinking milk, no sense gratification. And as he was glorifying the brahmachari, Lord Chaitanya was becoming more and more enraged. And at one point, he said, do you think that you can get bhakti by simply drinking milk? Get that milk drinker off before I destroy this whole universe. He was so angry. And the brahmachari was trembling, and all the devotees were trembling. What are we supposed to do now? And Lord Chaitanya said that bhakti is not something which is achieved. It is awarded. You cannot achieve it by your tapasya. You cannot achieve it by your jnana. It is awarded by the devotee. And hearing all this, the brahmachari understood. He got the message, and he very humbly, he started to leave. And as he was starting to leave, in his heart, in his mind, he was thinking that actually I'm very grateful to Srivas Pandit and to Lord Chaitanya that I was allowed to see and at least see Lord Chaitanya dance just for a moment. I was allowed in this nocturnal kirtan just for a moment. So I'm very, very grateful for this. He did not stand on a pedestal and say, I'm very humble, I'm very grateful. He was just in his mind, he was saying, and as he was leaving, Lord Chaitanya said, stop. And he called the brahmachari inside, and he held his head, he put his head down, and he put his lotus feet on the brahmachari's head. Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki! And because Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is no different than Krishna, who is the Paramatma in the heart, he understood the inner mood of the brahmachari. Even though he was criticized, he was chastised, but he was grateful for whatever opportunity he was given. So in this way, I'm very thankful and grateful for this opportunity to reach Srimad Bhagavatam with all of you. It's almost time for the Darshan Aarti. If we, there are 5 more minutes, if there are any questions or comments, please.
Very nice class, thank you, Prabhu. I don't know your name, please forgive me. I'd like to go back to a point you made about you have one idea about how preaching should go on and someone else has an idea and you don't agree, so you should humbly, just for the sake of harmony. I don't agree with that. First of all, if I had allowed that particular kind of meek, and then we would not have this big temple being built. When we presented this temple, there was so much controversy, but we stuck to our guns, our team. And the location, there was so much controversy, no, screaming and yelling, but we stuck to our guns. When we had to take down the trees, we were called murderers. We were called all kinds of... But we stuck to our guns. And as a result, even though there was a great deal of upheaval and lack of harmony and everyone peaceful, happy bunny, you have this magnificent project now coming. Now everyone's happy, they want to be part of the, you know, take the credit. But, so how do you explain that? Also, because kind of glanced upon the nature of competition, you're saying Indra, of course Indra's a special, you know, right. he's a really temperamental character. But competition is good. Prabhupada told us in Calcutta. He said, competition is good because we used to compete who could distribute more books and who... Oh, people used to... Tamal Krishna Maharaj used to get fiery. Guru Kripa, they'd have... But fiery with each other. But, and arguing, fighting, you know, each one wanted... Prabhupada said, yes, competition is good. He said, when I was a child, my brothers and sisters and I competed for the love of our parents, for the attention. And he said, when the cowherd boys in Goloka, they compete with each other. Who can touch Krishna first? So you have to be careful. If you have a preaching idea, if someone or a group may say no, does that mean you automatically give up even though you are convinced that it is the proper thing to do? How do you explain that? I'm not trying to put you on the spot, but you know, we have to
I understand.
Make these things clear.
Thank you very much, Prabhu. Of course, there are many other qualified senior devotees here who can answer better, and I'm sure you also know it, but yes, I will, by your blessings, I will attempt to say some things. I'll try to share my thoughts on the second one, because then it will lead into the first question. Is the competition, and Prabhupada definitely encouraged competition. However, the spirit of competition also, as I've heard, and you can correct me on that, that Srila Prabhupada also explained the spirit of that competition. There is competition in the material world and there is competition in the spiritual world. But the mood of competition in the material world is to put down the other person. Whereas if the competition is in a more positive sense, in the sense, if someone else is doing better than me, let me do better than him. Rather than putting him down, let me do better and take positive inspiration from that person and do better than him. As long as this is there, that's a healthy competition. Because then the other person, each person gets inspired by the other one. And the effect is that, for example, in book distribution, if one group is distributing some books and the other temple thinks, we will distribute more books than this temple, taking inspiration, And then in this way everyone starts thinking that the net result is a lot of Srila Prabhupada's books are being distributed. But if everyone tries to put the other group down, then it's not a healthy competition. So your point is valid, there is competition, there should be competition. It is natural in the material world as well as the spiritual world, but the spirit of the competition is very important. The spirit of the competition is what decides whether it's a spiritual... If it's a spiritual competition or a material competition. And taking it one step further, if we can think that I will do better than this devotee so that he gets inspired by me, and my internal desire is that I should be the last person. I should come last. That's my internal desire. If I ultimately come first, that's Krishna's. Yes. So coming to the first point, which is if you always be meek and humble, and at the first given opportunity of resistance, we just give up, then the mission won't expand, the new temple won't have come up, so many other things that we would have done won't have come up. And so here we see from King Prithu's example, he actually chased Indra several times. He did not give up at the first given opportunity. He chased Indra several times and he wanted to kill Indra. His son wanted to kill Indra. He stopped his son from killing. But after several attempts of Indra stealing the horse, seeing that Indra is not giving up, Lord Brahma came and he advised King Prithu that just give it up. And because Brahma said it, because this higher authority, he was told by the higher authority, after so many attempts, he accepted this as the will of providence. That it's not based on his own speculation. He was thinking, 100 Ashwamedh Yagyas is the Shastric recommendation for us to get benefit for the benefit of the citizens. But now, since it's not working out, and especially Lord Brahma has instructed, that's when he actually gave up. So your point is well taken, that we have to see whether it's a impediment given by Maya, even in the form of devotees, even from devotees, or it's an impediment given by Krishna. And that's a very difficult thing to discern. There's no black and white answer to it. It's, as all of us know from experience, that based on case-to-case basis, the same situation can be understood in so many different ways. But the thing is to always have the counsel of Godbrothers, senior devotees, the Srila Prabhupada's books, and with that, as to try to do things in such a way and assess such a way whether achieving this is worth giving up the harmony amongst this set of devotees. If it is worth, if it is for a higher purpose, and that is discerned by the discussion of all the senior devotees and everything, then we can definitely go ahead and do that. But definitely not at the first given opportunity, we should not give up whatever teaching endeavors that we are doing. So these are my thoughts. I'd like to hear more from you. I'd like to get enlightened from you on that question. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. I'm sorry for keeping you for so long. Thank you for tolerating. Hare Krishna.